Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we try to convince professional, visionary, author, and Studio 360 host Kurt Anderson to name one of his characters Chip Dipson. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us, as always,
Yeah.
He's always in our hearts.
Right. I think that's what you meant.
I mean, he's certainly an inspiration in everything that we do.
Sure.
He's a kind of a goal that we'd like to attain.
Sure. In that sense, he is always with us.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Please welcome the Big J. The man who hosts the Public Radio International program, Studio 360, acclaimed novelist, co-founder of a legendary satirical magazine, Spy, current cover writer for Time magazine, judging by my trip to the grocery store yesterday, and professional visionary, Kurt Anderson. Welcome to the program, Kurt.
So happy to be here.
We are so happy to have you, sir.
Despite all of the ironic welcoming and praise. But no, I'm extremely happy to be here.
Hey, you know, Jesse's little slip-up was just kind of... we were going to segue into this later, but we want to see if you'll become a permanent co-host. So
yeah, we were wondering...
We figured now is a good time to ask.
You're here in Los Angeles. Before you move back to L.A., of course, you've got this great pad in Studio City, a beautiful... a modern home on a hilltop in Studio City with a lot of matching furnishings. I think this is the time for you to put down roots both in the city of Los Angeles and here at Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Sidekick emeritus, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Whatever, let me put it this way. Whatever Studio 360 is paying you, we can't pay that.
I know it's a cliche, but I actually do love LA and I've loved being here. But I also think it's one of those things, like with mistresses, if I'd ever had a mistress, where
right.
you don't want to make it a permanent thing. You want to, you know, go be here for a few months, and it's been ideal in that sense. Because now I'm going to leave here in a couple weeks and go back to New York.
See, Kurt, when you describe it in those romantic terms, but I mean, basically, aren't you just having your way with LA and then casting it aside?
But I'll return to her.
Okay, fair enough. When your ship pulls into port.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's as stupid and simple as I now, at my advanced age, feel no further need to spend character building winters in places in a place like New York because I feel my character is fully built.
Right.
And I can
fair enough
be here in a lazy, you know, lotus eater place every winter from now on.
And by the way, have you tried our lotuses? Did Teresa bring you a lotus?
No, I got one from the lotus truck outdoor.
Great. And we should explain, Kurt, of course, is like Studio 360, ordinarily based in New York City. A very New York City type of dude,
mm-hmm.
but here in Los Angeles at the Pomona College Arts College Center.
The Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California, Jesse.
The Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, California, where he is a visionary in residence, Jordan. How can we get to this point in our careers?
Yeah, Kurt, give us a... I mean, I think that's the kind of place I would like to be in a couple of years. I want to be getting grants.
Yep.
I want to be a something in residence.
And let's be clear. When you say you want to be getting grants, you want the no strings attached kind of grants, like a MacArthur grant where they just give you the money and you just do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
They give you the money, an office, and some co-eds maybe. Possibly
yeah.
some co-eds.
Sure.
And that's really what we all dream of.
Oh, and a statue of me in like the quad.
Oh, and in the statue, are you doing like a cool? Are you wearing like one of those helmets with like a dagger on top, and you're like holding a sword up, and you're riding a horse?
Yeah, whatever, as long as my dick's huge. My statue dick.
I didn't know we worked blue here.
Oh, this is a very blue program.
Yeah, this is not a classy operation.
Yeah,
Sorry,
no, K-A. Absolutely not. This is, you don't have to come down to our level, but just so you know, this does carry the explicit tag in iTunes. Jordan, there's some really,
hold on. I was asking Kurt for advice on how I could get to this kind of prestigious.
You know, just live long enough and show up. I mean, it really is, as simple as that, you know, when you're twice the age you are now and you'll be roughly my age, you know, then people will have no choice but to say, oh, this guy's been around a long time. Let's give him this sweet gig at our university and perhaps build a statue to him.
Are stylish eyeglasses an important part of this? Because it strikes me that especially if you're thinking about doing this in an academic context and particularly in an arts academic context, that you're going to need a signature eyewear. Is that, am I off base here?
No, I think that's part of the rule book, really.
Right.
You know, to be an art director or a visionary or... God knows both. You do need artwear that says, "I'm kind of a dick."
Right, because you're mostly wearing black and white otherwise. So
exactly,
you need to.
But this isn't so. I mean, the listeners don't know, but my eyewear is not so.
Just to
freakishly
clarify,
Daniel Liebskindishly.
He's wearing
stylish.
Now, Kurt Anderson is sitting before us. He's wearing Cazal eyeglasses like Run DMC, the big square. Eyeglasses like you would see on Run DMC,
but updated a little bit.
You know, more like a slightly contemporary style, like you might see on Run or on Larry David's dad on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That kind of look. It's sort of an iconic elderly Jew style.
Well, it's the Lou Wasserman look, and here in L.A., that's what I figured I ought to do.
Well, you're a mogul now. How many times have you had lunch with Brian Grazer since you got here?
Brian and I lunch, well, we try to do it once a week, just like the vice president and the president did.
Right.
You should have a weekly reservation at the Daily Grill.
Something like that.
Does
Spago still exist? I feel like, why go to another restaurant when you can go to Spago's?
Yeah, I don't know where Spago stands in the zeitgeist now. I feel like I don't hear.
I think it stands firmly in the zeitgeist of 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
And Wolfgang Puck, of course, who started Spago, has now risen above it as the brand. And now at every supermarket I go to in Southern California, there is a whole Wolfgang Puck section.
Wolfgang Puck started Spago's, more than just the California Pizza Kitchen. I had him primarily associated with like a California Pizza Kitchen, a CPK.
Sure. I don't think he had anything to do with that. I could be wrong, though.
Really?
Yeah. Jordan
is correct.
He definitely invented putting Thai peanut sauce on a pizza.
Yeah, that's what I was about. That's exactly, I was about to say Thai chicken, but I think we're right on the same page.
We're jiving.
Kind of culinary miscegenation, really, was his thing.
Sure.
Okay. Fair enough. So Spago's is the moral of the story, I think.
Yeah.
I went to this restaurant. There's a very fancy restaurant here in my neighborhood. My neighborhood, of course, is full of primarily like Korean barbecue, which is a great restaurant, but I rarely go to it just because it's distressingly expensive. It turns out you really can't go to a Korean barbecue place for less than like $40 a person. It's weird that it's a kind of lower middle class kind of restaurant to go to because it's outrageously expensive.
Maybe if you were Korean, they would charge you the normal $8.
Yeah, exactly. So I went, there is this one fancy restaurant, and Teresa has a good friend who's a public defender here in LA, makes a good salary and likes to spend it going to fancy restaurants. And she said, oh, such and such restaurant right by your house. This is one of the best restaurants in Los Angeles. And we had noticed that they have like a half price bar food menu for like happy hour or whatever, and we're like, oh well, we live here, we can go there for happy hour whenever we want. So we walked over there to go for happy hour.
Well, what's it called?
What's some bar food?
Such and such, I think it's
called. Yes,
it's in the Wiltern. It's right at the it's right there in the Wiltern between Denny's and the theater. And but like I said,
so
really
you had
fancy.
To push through the line of mopey Hispanic teens waiting for Avenged Sevenfold.
There's so many mopey Hispanic teens waiting in line outside the Wiltern.
Yeah, that's the Wiltern, man.
What's that about?
I think it just if you're, you know,
they're waiting. Last night when we went out to this, it was the Derek Trucks band, I don't know either, but I'm pretty sure there shouldn't have been all the Moby Hispanic teens waiting outside that there were. Like, used to go see, like, it's like a Lady Gaga. It's like, oh, mopey Hispanic teens outside.
And I see on the marquee that Spinal Tap is about to be there, or at least the members of Spinal Tap are on the marquee. And so will your, and I hesitate to say mopey Hispanic teens because there's something faintly racist about that. But I wonder if the audience will be
Kurt,
different.
You've spent 4 months in Los Angeles. If you can't deal with a little faint racism.
Yeah.
Well, and if you can't deal with a white person calling all Spanish people, all Spanish speaking people, Mexicans.
There's at least some demographic logic to that in this place. But no, mopey. I'm with you. I mean, and perhaps that's better said as oppressed and disempowered. But who knows? I just have too much public radio PC burned into my brain now, I guess.
Okay, so we went into this restaurant, and first of all, there's a bar in like a restaurant area, and we went in. And there was no, it's like a mostly a restaurant, and there was no host there. There was two dudes standing by the door that I thought maybe were hosts, but all they did was this big gesture, like the enter gesture, you know, like extending one arm all the way out and the other arm to the breast. They did it kind of in succession, and we're just kind of standing there confused because we're thinking like, oh, we're going to eat a little food, and there's only a bar right there where we enter, and we don't really want to sit at the bar. Like, there's booths and stuff. Maybe we want to sit in a booth. And so we kind of look at them with this look like, what are we supposed to do? And they just gave it again, like the enter. Just these two dudes just doing this enter thing. And we went inside and sat down, and finally, like, we just went up to them and said, can we go over there and sit in a booth? Because there was sort of like a door in between, very unclear. Sat down. A weird waiter came and gave us dinner menus for like, you know, $70 steaks. And that wasn't really in the cards. But what was amazing about it was that they were handing us this menu for $70 steaks, right? But it was also like kind of shitty inside. Like the decor is this kind of industrial chic. Sure. You know what I mean? Like anything in Los Angeles, like it's like polished concrete floors and literally giant booths, giant like thrones made out of perforated leather thrones that you have to like pull the entire thing out from under the table just to sit down because they have big arms and they're like really too heavy to be moving. It was a really weird situation, and there's like it's shitty in there, and the music is smooth jazz.
Yeesh.
I didn't know that smooth jazz was something that still, you know what I mean?
Well, but there you go. There's something Los Angeles about these interesting lapses of hipness. I mean, this place sounds as though it's trying to be stylish in a certain way, and they're selling $70 steaks, and it's industrial chic. And then you get the smooth jazz thing. It's like the whole memo about what is stylish didn't go out to everyone here. Some places are, you know, okay. And not that that's good or bad. It's interesting that you encounter places that you think, oh, okay, this is this kind of thing. And then some bit of weirdness, like you know, Chuck Mangione comes up and I guess I am in Southern California.
Yeah, it was really spectacular. This waiter came up and there's like the half price bar food is like two things on the entire bar food menu. It was the strangest fine dining experience I've ever had. It turned out Teresa had a Manhattan. It cost $14.
Almost what the island cost 400 years ago.
Exactly. If only we could have traded glass beads for it.
I did for work last month, I spent about 2 weeks kind of back and forth in New York and tried to go to a lot of nicer restaurants. Here's what I couldn't get away from there. Dance music. Intense dance music.
Really? At restaurants?
I went to a nicer Italian place.
Because usually in a restaurant that's like a fancier restaurant, but not like a hoity-toity restaurant, for a younger rich person, it's like KCRW music. Like, it's loungy hip music.
Sure, sure. But yes, I feel like across food genre, You know, a couple of Italian places, a couple of gastro pubs, a couple of, you know, tapas places, intense blaring dance music.
You sit down,
meant to pump me up.
You order your ahi tuna, your like seared ahi tacos.
Sure.
And, all of a sudden it's like, y'all ready for this?
Not even that though. It wasn't even like
more electrono Euro pop.
Would you say it was lower NRG?
It seems as though, based on that report, that New York has radically changed in the 4 months that I've been gone.
You know? you haven't been
maybe you're
been
not
assaulted.
Hanging out at the right places, Kurt.
Yeah, not enough gastro pubs in Brooklyn, I guess, with playing dance music.
Oh man, well, we got a lot of fun stuff for today's program. We got all these telephone calls that we've been saving up. We got Kurt Anderson here. We're going to talk about going on a cruise. Ah, this is just delightful.
Everything.
This is delightful. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us, of course, the great Kurt Anderson. Now, Kurt, you're encouraged to make up your own nickname so you can introduce yourself.
Can I have until the next break to come
Absolutely.
Up with my
sure.
DJ name?
We get a lot of great emails, Jordan, on the program. People email us at jjgo@maximumfun.org. This was great. I think this is just going to be a really great topic of discussion for all of us here. Me, of course, you, Jordan,
sure.
Kurt Anderson for Public Radio Studio 360. I love it when we get an email with a question, just like a really open question that everybody has an opinion on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Josh Lowen writes us, hey, guys, do you have a favorite all-time knuckleball pitcher? What are your thoughts on the current state of knuckleballing in the majors? Thanks, Josh. So anyway, I guess I'll go first, unless either of you guys wants to jump in on this.
No.
Of course, my first inclination is to go with a classic, Hoyt Wilhelm, of course, who pitched into his 50s in the majors, which
now,
I think is really amazing.
Now, do you know this stuff, Jesse,
and,
or did you research this?
And so anyway, I'm really
it's
excited.
A running thing that Jesse thinks is funny.
I'm excited.
My first inclination is to talk about some weird baseball stuff from the 80s.
I'm answering questions, so
Kurt
Wilhelm,
my advice is just to write it out. Just sit here and nod until he fucking ejaculates his load into the microphone, and then he shuts up and we can talk about something else that
anyway,
we know about.
So my first inclination is to say Hoyt Wilhelm, as I said. Then my second inclination, of course, my first fantasy baseball team, one of the starting pitchers was Charlie Huff. Of course, everybody has their favorite Charlie Huff story. Mm-hmm. But I think based on my interest in the 1992 Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm going to go with Tim Wakefield, who actually is still pitching for the Boston Red Sox and signed a contract with the Red Sox with a permanent club option. So as long as the Red Sox want him to pitch for their team, he has agreed to do it for, I think, $3 million a year. So I am...
And Jordan, you just shut up entirely for these periods?
I've tried to fight it for a while, but it's, just kind of part of the landscape at this point.
Anyway, it's a lot of fun.
So, Jesse, I hear you went on a cruise. What was that like?
So you guys have any... anything?
No.
You guys got anything? Favorite knuckleballers?
No.
Knuckleball
no.
pitchers, favorite knuckleballers.
Did Warren Spahn throw knuckleballs?
No, he did not, but that was a good that was a good effort. See, somebody here is making an effort, Jordan, to entertain our audience.
And I know my fellow Omahan Bob Gibson didn't.
Right. No, he didn't. He was a speedballer, known for his fastball.
You've now heard the extent of my sports knowledge.
Okay, well, there you go. We see Kurt Anderson's here to play ball.
He is. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I can't delight audience with the odd 80s baseball facts that they tune in for.
Jordan, speaking of what the audience tunes in for, the fact of the matter is that most of the audience tunes in to hear you talk about video games.
Sure.
Now, you've mostly been playing a lot of Street Fighter 4.
Yes.
This is a sequel to Street Fighter 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
Now, in Street Fighter, what happens is two cartoon guys are on opposite sides of the screen, and they go back and forth across the screen, and they do combos against each other. They use blocks.
Among other things.
Fireballs. They say different stuff. You go up, down, A, B, something. you know, you squiggle your stick around and do different moves, different blocks block different fireballs, and eventually a winner is crowned and he becomes king of the fighters.
Sure.
So Jordan, of course, loves this. This is Jordan's favorite hobby, is becoming king of the fighters. And one of our listeners, what was our listener's name that challenged you to a duel?
Oh, it's Joel.
Joel, nice young man named Joel that I actually met.
From
I met
Austin.
In person.
Austin, Texas.
He and his lovely girlfriend came up and introduced themselves to Teresa and I at a at a show that we were at. Joel, a super nice guy, challenged you to a battle in Street Fighter 4, because obviously we have this audience out there. They know Jordan talks a good game. You know what I mean? And when I say good game, I'm referring to Street Fighter 4 and becoming King of the Fighters. Mm-hmm. But they don't know if Jordan can walk the talk.
Sure.
You know what
walk
I mean?
Walk the plank.
Walk the plank. Can you, you know, are you the real cock of the walk?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So Joel bet money on it. He said he would make a donation if he lost. He would make a donation to MaximumFun.org. Various other people on the forum made side wagers, either placing money on Joel, placing money on Jordan, and their epic battle. Jordan, how did it go?
It went well. I mean, if you're me, it went great. Because
oh.
I forget the details of it specifically. I was going to try and recount some of the nuances, but Joel and I were talking to each other over Xbox headsets, and we were having such a nice conversation that I kind of forgot to remember the details. I did win pretty decidedly, but Joel is a very good player, and it was fun.
Well, congratulations to you, Jordan.
Thank you.
It was pretty fun when we talked about
how extraordinarily fair-minded you are, Jordan. When Jesse asks, and here I am just observing.
Oh, sure.
When Jesse asks, how did it go? And you said it went great. If you're me, how what other kind of it went great is there? But how lovely and Christ-like of you to say if you were me.
Thank you. Yeah,
and
thank you
that's
for saying Christ-like
from Christ
too.
Himself.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the way I am. But like, yeah.
Do you think you could take? Do you think there are our listeners out there that you couldn't take that would take you to the hole, so to speak? That would hit a home run off of you in Street Fighter?
No, you know, I actually have a Max Fun listener that I've played with a handful of times, who's very good and a good match for me. Tofu Tornado.
Oh, sure, Tofu Tornado.
So, yeah, he's.
You know, I think you know. I'm gonna make some speculation.
Okay.
One of the members of the Maximum Fun Forum is this guy named Ronnie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ronnie has a couple of hobbies. Okay. Number one, Ronnie likes to make cars that jump in the air. I think something like that.
Okay.
I think they jump in the air if
Actual
I remember
cars.
Correctly. Yeah. I think he makes jumping cars of some kind. No, not jumping cars. No, I lied. Cars that do wheelies. He likes to make cars that do wheelies.
Okay.
So that's his hobby, and he likes to make. And his favorite vehicle is a Volkswagen Bug that he can make do a wheelie. Now,
that's pretty impressive,
right?
The Herbie series just must have had a galvanizing effect on him.
Exactly. It was like the like key moment in his life was
sure.
When Herbie got his groove back or whatever the movie was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one of his hobbies. The other is he goes to secret underground Street Fighter II competitions in weird warehouses where people from around his region drive on trucks Street Fighter II machines into this one local, like the central area. Like everybody brings their personal Street Fighter II machine.
Yes.
So everyone, this is a real thing. Have you ever been to some of these things?
No, I never have.
You mean they drive actual trucks in life and then go into a warehouse where they play the video game?
Yes. So what happens is.
So it's like Fight Club for pussies?
Yeah, exactly. So they.
And fatsos, to be fair. And fatsos.
Now, I think that I don't know if Ronnie has one of these Xbox 360s. That's what you got.
Yeah.
But I think if Ronnie fought you, he would win.
Probably.
I've got $20 on Ronnie.
Wow. All right. Well, Ronnie, put your belly on the bar, I guess.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to be looking for Ronnie on the forum, and it's shit's going down. Now, maybe he doesn't know the new power combos.
Sure.
Jordan. You know what I mean?
Ultra combos, Jesse.
Ultra combos.
No, Jesse.
Stop being glib. I have a technical advice question as long as the discussion has gone to video games. I'm writing this script in which there will be a brief scene of a character of this rich guy, this youngish rich guy, but an adult. And what would be the funniest game to reveal that he's playing while he's in the middle of a business meeting? I mean, would it be World of Warcraft? Would it be Street Fighter IV? What would be funny that would get a laugh because it would look so...
So this is something he's playing like on a PC or
I've got a good suggestion.
He's platform or I'm platform agnostic.
Okay. So. I was gonna say I don't know what the setup of this business meeting
is. It's just there's a big giant video screen and he's just playing the game.
Okay. Well, he's just a kind of a video conference situation and then in another corner he's playing a game.
I've got a pitch for him.
Okay.
Is a giant television. Well, he's in his office or home office or something like that.
Something.
So he's got a giant television, like a huge wall-sized television, and he's playing Duck Hunt.
Yeah, that's pretty good. For
the Nintendo Entertainment System, he's got the laser gun and he's just shooting ducks and it's going womp, 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 womp.
He's not going. The machine.
That's where they go.
Yeah. Okay.
He's saying business stuff.
Yeah, I like the idea of and there's a physical gun like thing you hold.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think if he is just kind of a modern intense rich guy and you are looking for something that this kind of modern rich guy would play, if you want this to be appropriate and not odd, I would say probably
Knuckleball.
Call of Duty 4. Which is kind of
the more intense
war game. Yeah. Yeah. But if you were looking to be weird and anachronistic, let's say Panzer Dragoon for the Sega Saturn. Those are my two suggestions.
I have come to the right place.
Jordan went straight to the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
He's going to the Sega Saturn. Wow. What if he was playing Virtual Boy?
Maybe.
You can't show Virtual Boy, though. You can't because there's no way because it's got the head, the goggles.
So
anyway,
so massively multiplayer is out of the question, you think?
Okay, he sounds like a business guy. I mean, I don't know anything about this script. He sounds maybe like an, intense business guy.
More like an
you
air.
You should know that
more
I'll...
like an airhead air.
Yeah. Then I think the multiplayer is maybe more the kind of the brainy, shut-in... super analytical.
Uh-huh, okay.
And if this guy maybe is a guy who is a successful guy who doesn't deserve his success, something a little more brainless.
Okay. Here's what's important,
Call of Duty
though. I'm going to just quick follow up. You mentioned that you're writing a script. You're also an acclaimed novelist. Mm. Jordan and I have a quick pitch for you that we like. just a quick request, and I don't know, I haven't talked about this with Jordan ahead of time, but 20 bucks?
What?
20 bucks? You know, 20 bucks?
What,
10 each.
We to get give Kurt Anderson?
Yeah. If he comes through.
Sure.
Okay. There's 20 bucks in it for you.
Whoa.
It's our opinion that if you're creating a work of fiction, the two best names, and I'm giving full credit, this is Jordan's premise.
Me and a friend. A friend helped me come up with this.
Okay. So Jordan and a friend came up with this. It's basically like, have you read this? What's the guy who writes the books about screenwriting?
McKee.
Robert McKee, right?
Yeah.
Have you read any of this Robert McKee story or something like that?
I've read a bit of it, and I went and saw him
do his thing.
Deliver his thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is sort of like, just like he believes there are certain key elements that should be in every story. This is a key element that we think should be in every story. And it's sort of a core belief of ours. It's that the best character names for any fictional character are number one, Chip Dipson, and number two, Dip Dobson. So Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson. So what we're looking for from you, and again, there's $20 in it for you, and I'm talking cash American. I'm not talking about Australian dollars. I'm not talking about Hong Kong, Singapore dollars or whatever.
And I'm in cash right now, so that's good for
right,
me.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yes. Yeah.
They pay you under the table for the visionary club.
Exactly.
Nice.
Is this visionary club just a lot of landscaping work?
It's secret. I really can't talk about the visions I've had.
Okay. He's had visions for like a healthy grass.
Sure.
Like a healthy, like a Scotch pine, like a nice Scotch pine, exactly. Maybe as well. So $20 in it for you, Kurt. All you have to do is name a character Chip Dipson or Dip Dobson.
Really?
It doesn't have to be the central character of the narrative. A lot of people think that it has to be the central character of the narrative, but that's a myth.
Now, have you made this offer before?
We were just talking last week, 2 weeks ago, with our friend Rob Corddry, who you may know as the writer and producer of the hit internet series Children's Hospital. Now, on Children's Hospital, he's about to enter a second season. There's currently a bidding war between two networks to put this on television. It had previously been an internet series. He's in the midst of a bidding war to put this thing on television, and he has pledged to name one of his characters Chip Dipson or Dip Dobson.
Wow.
And we didn't even have to give him any money.
Well, there you go.
I know what drives you, though. I can see it in your eyes. I know what you fancy East Coast intellectuals are like. $20 cash American. It's on the table. Look, I'm going to take it out. Here in my pocket, I have $20 cash. Right here. This is the sound of
$20. He really does. It is. This is not a prop 20.
$20. It's my good friend, okay. Mr. Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
Helped create the Federal Reserve, if I'm remembering that correctly.
And participated in duels as well.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell that this is...
duelist.
You can tell that this is genuine because it has little 20s written in gold ink around this engraving on the back. So that you can tell it's genuine. If you look through it through the sun, you can probably see there's a watermark or seal of some kind, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I will go to the people who actually write my books for me and ask them if they're up for this. And
okay.
If they can fit that into the character naming schedule that is planned for the rest of 2009. Fiscal 2009, I should
one
say.
Quick additional question. Would you be willing to bring this to Grazer?
Well, everything I write automatically.
He's got a first look, right?
First look on everything I say. He's listening now, in fact.
Wow. Oh, is he?
Yeah, so.
Hey, Bri. I call him Bri.
Your hair's crazy.
You're too old for that haircut, Brian Grazer.
He's too old, but he's rich enough
for that
haircut.
That's true.
So I think that's the...
We all have our branding, don't we?
Did mm-hmm. you know Brian Grazer hires people to tell him what's interesting?
Yeah.
He has a staff of people whose job is to tell him what's interesting.
He has people who get people to tell him what's interesting. I don't know that he pays the people. Well, he does have this one guy, yeah. I actually once sat down with him and told him what was interesting for free. So.
Wow.
Really?
So, you know.
What did you say was interesting?
I don't remember.
You should have said Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson, right?
Well, I was.
You didn't know about
that
it
That was
then.
In the old days.
That
before
was before
I really
you
was
were
aware.
Enlightened.
At the time you were sitting down and talking to him, you told him that Tamagotchis were interesting.
That's probably right. And that my Neo pet was about to die.
But this was last year. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, exactly. Well, look at this $20. Read it and weep. Because you, I don't know what that means. Read it and weep, Jordan?
You want him to weep.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Kurt Anderson. He's sure. A great guy. He's a great public radio host, excellent public intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyway, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Kurt Anderson, also known as Explodo.
Explodo!
Nice.
Oh.
Anderson, I'm going to be honest with you. You're a great guy. I'm a big fan of your work. I've been listening to Studio 360 for a long time.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure how you were going to do on the nickname. I was not sure that it was going to be your forte, but you have proved me wrong.
Oh, so wrong.
I brought it.
Man.
I brought it.
He just stepped up to the plate.
He just exploded
and hit a home
my
run
mind.
Off a knuckleball.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is a slow pitch, Jordan.
Sure.
We got so many telephone calls this week, and since I got this, I got a nice. We've been for folks who have never been in our studio mm-hmm. for the past 2 years. If we've done this, we've been doing the show for about 2 years, right, Jordan? Two-ish years. So for the past 2 years, when we've done this program, we have run our telephone calls off of my wife's Discman that she bought in high school. A red Discman with just like one of those like connect it to your car cords running out of it and into our mixing board.
It's a cross colors Discman.
Yeah, we're talking about a Discman that previously had only seen Color Me Bad CDs. So now we've upgraded to an actual CD player, like a real grown-up program. Like they probably got one of these over at like a Studio 360 or something like that. You guys don't run your clips off of a Discman, do you?
We haven't for some years.
Right. So let's give this a try, huh?
Hey, Jordan, Jesse. This is Ian from Pennsylvania. I had a bit of a momentous occasion occur. I was passing this truck on the highway, and I observed the words on the side of it, and it said, Gender Solutions High Flex Knee. And I couldn't imagine what that would be. Maybe it's just an unfortunately named company. But in the climate that we live in, it's you know, like with, gender changes and such, it just, Gender Solutions High Flex Knee conjured up images of Del Monte fashion tees in my mind. So I think Gender Solutions High Flex Knee is the new Del Monte fashion piece.
I agree. Gender Solutions High Flex Knee, right? Knee, K-N-E-E?
K-N-E-E,
yeah. I wonder. High Flex hyphen N-I? I mean, maybe this is some sort of tech talk that I don't know about.
Yeah, it could be F-L-E-X-N-E-E.
I think it's space aliens who didn't quite get the language right and just put it on their truck.
Sure. Well, they're...
High Flex Knee, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Gender Solutions High Flex Knee.
Well, for folks who haven't
it's
been...
It's kind of scary.
Do we want to Google it, or are we fine with this being a...
I don't think we need to Google it. Yeah. I mean, for folks who don't... folks who haven't been listening the full 2 years, early on in Jordan, Jesse, Go, Jordan had a dream, right? A dream or...
No, I don't think it was a dream. I think I just started thinking about it.
That Jordan just started thinking a lot about the nonsense phrase Del Monte fashion piece. And so we threw that out to the audience. What is your creative interpretation of Del Monte fashion piece? Anything that we can show on the internet. And I think that Gender Solutions High Flex Knee is definitely the new Del Monte fashion piece. I'm opening it up. I'm opening it up, Jordan.
Wow.
I'm opening it up. We're going to make a thread on the forum.
Is a floodgate?
A special thread on the forum, even above and beyond the thread for this episode. We're making a special thread on the forum just for... Gender Solutions High Flex Knee. We're going to ask you to keep it safe for work, mm-hmm. as they say. No Gender Solutions. Don't show any dongs, specifically.
No photorealistic dongs. I'm okay with a cartoon dong.
Yeah, a cartoon dong is
Conky
fine.
Dong.
Yeah, good one.
Explodo!
Now, I wonder, is it H-I-G-H or H-I? And is there a hyphen between high and knee?
There's only one way to find out. Yeah. There's only one way to find out. Artistic interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where truth, you can only really find out about truth through art. You know that. You are an architecture critic.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, we're having a lot of fun, having a great time here at Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm so excited about pressing these buttons. Here we go.
I just got my Jordan, Jesse, Go t-shirt in the mail, and it is soft and smooth and fits perfectly. It rules. So happy. And I'm going to wear it tomorrow without a bra. Hooray. Bye.
Cool. Great call.
Yep.
Great call. Good work. It's a really soft shirt. We agree. I've gotten so many emails from people who loved the shirts. It's just like, it's been overwhelming. You're welcome.
Are they American made?
No, they're not. They're made overseas.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, well.
Oh,
they know
guys,
their shirts.
Boobs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Bravo.
You mean we're going for the wearing it without a bra reference here?
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically.
That's basically
what I'm
thinking
Sorry,
about.
Mr. Class.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither of you guys are wearing bras today, are you? Either, really?
I should be. Yeah. I need the support.
I'm actually wearing nipple tassels.
And attractive ones, I might
Oh, wear. Come on, K.A.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Dave in Naples, Florida, and I just wanted to call with an awesome occasion. I was just wanting to shave, but I didn't want to take a shower and do the whole thing. So I look over, and there's some KY jelly. Now, a little quick mental calculus, and I thought, what if I use that as shaving cream? So I got a little water, a little KY jelly, put it on the face, shaved it off. awesomest shaving cream ever. And this means now that the men get to take back KY jelly. Get it back. It's awesome. Try it. I swear to God. Bye.
I don't know if I can support this.
No, gross. That's for genitals.
And by the way, the gay men have already taken back KY. Yeah, I don't think we had a problem with it.
Thank you, Kurt.
Yeah, they're going great.
There's no take back involved. But,
oh, yeah, sorry, goodness. Dude, you are too late.
Okay, well, we...
Or shaving cream during sex, I guess, would be the other.
Yeah, I think that's the next step. Maybe maybe an axe shave gel.
Oh, my goodness. So, Jordan, Kurt, you don't know this about Jordan. Jordan's kind of a sex symbol. And once in a while, we get a call like this. And sometimes I don't play him because I think, you know, Jordan doesn't need to get a bigger head than he already has. I mean, Jordan already knows how sexy he is.
Sure.
But I thought I would throw this.
Hence the boudoir photos.
Yeah, he does have a lot of boudoir photos. Just huge numbers of just sepia-toned photos of him in a thong, just doing different poses and covering himself in different stuff. I don't know why he showed them to me. Anyway.
Hey, JJ Go. This is Anne from Sacramento, and I wanted to call and just tell you about a dream I had last night. I know it's really lame when people tell you about your dreams because no one ever really wants to know. No one cares but you, but I woke up after having a dream. I met Jordan in my dream, and he was explaining to me how he never has any problems getting a girlfriend because of his amazing fisting skills.
What was the verb?
Fisting.
Fisting.
The verb was to fist.
Hmm.
Which is, I mean, I get... couldn't be closer to the truth. This woman is clairvoyant.
God, what joke to make? What joke to make? I've kind of, jeez, man, I feel like it's they're all trying to cram through the floodgates, and I can't think of one.
I'll tell you what, Jordan.
Yes.
It's just bask in a special moment.
Okay.
I give you permission.
Fine.
Normally, in a situation like this, I would turn to you to make a witticism on to top a listener's call. But in this moment, I give you full permission to just bask in the glory of your fisting prowess. You know what I mean?
That was the sound of bask?
Yeah.
Now, Kurt Anderson, judging by your eyeglasses, you probably have a subscription to The New Yorker, if I'm not mistaken.
You probably get it gratis. You used to write for them, right?
They just send it to you.
I get it. I read it.
Okay. So have you noticed in The New Yorker any advertisements for Danny DeVito's Limoncello?
It's probably one of those tiny ads in the back that I don't look at as carefully as I should.
We're talking about a full page, full cover, full color, inside back cover advertisement.
Is this true?
Yes.
Really?
Danny DeVito's Limoncello. He has his own brand of Limoncello. It's the official Limoncello of Jordan Jesse Go. Mm-hmm. That's a new decision. I've just made it. I'm throwing it out there. Amazing situation.
I can see the case of it being put, you know, on the FedEx truck as we're speaking and wending its way to Los Angeles.
Hey, Jordan and Jesse. This is Nick in Austin. I have a momentous occasion. My girlfriend and I were just going to the grocery store, and when we pulled up to the grocery store, there was a really, really long line leading into the liquor store next door. And we thought that was really weird because there's no reason for a giant line to be leading out of the door. So we went up, and as we were approaching the grocery store, we asked somebody at the back of the line what was going on, and they said that Danny DeVito was inside signing T-shirts and giving out free bottles of his new Limoncello, and I thought that was pretty amazing. And then at the end of the line, somebody had taken the opportunity to adopt out abandoned greyhounds. So apparently the greyhound and Danny DeVito and Limoncello community mix pretty well together.
There's no doubt about that. Any idiot can see how well those three things go together. Danny DeVito, Limoncello, and adoptable greyhounds.
The world as Mad Lib. I mean.
I have a quick Limoncello story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This was earlier this week. I had an audition that included...
Danny DeVito.
That included riffing on movies. So in one of them was Terminator 3. So I... This is kind of unimportant to the story.
They asked you to do some riffing.
Yeah, some riffing, and I got together with a buddy of mine who I knew was also going to do the audition. We were like, well, we should rent Terminator 3 and just make sure we're familiar.
Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines.
Rise of the Machines. That's the byline. So we're like, oh, well, we should probably drink some beers while we're doing this. So we went to the closest place within walking distance to me is this liquor store. It's a little shishi. It's a place you would go for. Like a micro brew brewed by a monk or something like that,
or possibly a celebrity liqueur.
Yeah, or like a like a espresso infused vodka is something else you also would get from this. But they also just have like 12 packs of beer that are like a little bit expensive,
but not so much half pints of cheap vodka kind of place.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get a Popov there. Anyway, so you went to this place, and, the lady behind the counter is a kind of lady you would expect to own this kind of place. There was two bottles of limoncello at the counter, and I guess I kind of maybe don't know or still don't know if limoncello is something that Danny DeVito invented or if it's just a general thing that he has a brand of. Anyway, so there's these two bottles of it sitting at the counter, and I'm like, oh, limoncello, is this the Danny DeVito stuff? And she's like, no, this is made in Sacramento by a lovely couple. She's from Italy, and he's from the Swiss Alps, and they make this, and it's really lovely, and it's good paired with. I'm like, but Danny DeVito's not involved. She's like, no. She's like, no. And I said, what about Rhea Perlman? Anyways, she's just annoyed with me.
You're always on.
I guess so. I was genuinely curious at this point. I kind of confused how she had this, but didn't. Anyways, and I was like, Danny DeVito, he takes up these big ads.
Don't you think there's this part of me now that wants to make Max FunCon. You know, there will be some drinking at Max FunCon, and we've got some folks donating beer and wine, and we've got this guy coming to make special old-timey cocktails. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like, why did I bring in this guy to make special old-timey cocktails when I could just have served Danny DeVito limoncello and Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Head vodka? You know what I mean?
There you go. And mixed together. You could name that, some kind of Max Fun special name.
Have they ever been in a movie together? That would be the good name for the thing. Has Dan Aykroyd and Danny DeVito ever been in a movie?
Yeah. I don't think they've ever been in a movie.
I bet they have.
Their genres are close, but not.
They probably were on SNL together.
They're like asymptotic.
Maybe. Yeah. Did Danny DeVito?
I don't know.
But now, if you're Danny DeVito, Dan Aykroyd's a different situation. But if you're Danny DeVito,
he's mental.
Well, but you have this successful. You're rich. You have this successful production career. All this. Why the fuck do you start selling limoncello?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not like Suzanne Summers Thighmaster.
This
situation.
Is what I think it is. This is my best guess. Somebody wrote the Danny DeVito's Limoncello song, brought it to Danny DeVito, played it for Danny DeVito, blew his mind.
Is there such a song?
Is there such a song, Kurt? Is there such a song?
I'm out of it.
Somebody hasn't visited Danny DeVito's limoncello on the internet web yet.
Not lately.
Oh, my goodness. Is there such a song? It's one of the greatest songs ever recorded, I would say. Okay, so the moral of the story is, I think that the song came first, and he said, well, I've got to develop a limoncello to match up with the quality of this song. And that's why, in the advertisements, he has his little glass of limoncello, he has lemons, and he also has some kind of old-timey Italian string instrument that he's about to play. So I think that lyre, or whatever it is represents the fact that the song was the impetus for the creation of the liqueur.
But then, okay, fine. But then you actually...
Granted.
You travel to Austin and show up at a liquor store?
Well, it's South by Southwest. He's there for Southwest,
it, right?
The world's most famous live music festival. He's there to perform the song.
Really?
Or to have
his
sort of Dean Martin sound-alike that rolls with him perform the song and, give out free bottles of liqueur. And, of course, the good part is...
The
best
Greyhound thing.
Is that, yeah, a few Greyhounds are going to find new homes, which would have never happened if the Dean Martin sound-alike hadn't written that record.
You know, I see your puzzlement at this. Because there are some, I guess, some celebrity alcohol endorsements that make sense. Who's the guy who directed Godfather?
Coppola.
Francis
Doesn't
Ford
he have
Coppola.
A wine?
He has a winery.
Serious vineyard.
So that kind of makes sense. And
totally.
Then, you know, when a rapper has a signature cognac or something like that, that also kind of makes sense. But this. It's more faint
racism coming out of here, but that's all right.
I'm just saying it's the lifestyle.
Yes,
it's the
opulent.
Yes, yes.
In this case, what you're selling is the spirit of being a classy Italian guy like Danny DeVito.
I would say a...
Danny DeVito.
Quirky Italian
Limoncello.
Guy.
A new liqueur from this very charming fellow. Right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't remember if that's exactly what the lyrics are, but that's approximately what
the
lyrics
are. We all have to
get
to work on our alcohol endorsement strategies.
I know. Where's our alcohol? I know there's probably a lot of home brewers in our audience. Don't you feel like... I feel like our whole audience is composed of number one, polyamorists, and number two, home brewers. So far, those are the demographics that I think are... Like, if we made a media packet that would say, Jordan Jesse Go listeners are... 12 times more likely to be polyamorists. 17 times more likely to brew their own beer.
If you're looking for an audience to sell your busty anime figurines to.
Yeah. Okay, but do you feel like Jordan Jesse Beer is totally within our grasp, right?
I mean, if it is, I mean, would you, you don't drink.
I don't drink.
Though. Would you, I mean, you can't
I would endorse it.
You can't have a signature beer if you don't try it. That's disingenuous.
I would try it.
It's nasty.
If we made Jordan, if a listener out there made Jordan Jesse beer, it would have to have,
no, it's
just
have Jordan
to be in bottles.
Because I'm the only one. Just me. Jordan Morris signature beer. Jesse's not involved.
Here's the thing you do. You agree to drink. Start drinking it and only it, and that
it's a little extra cachet for it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Okay, fair enough. I'm on board.
Okay,
I'll drink it and only it. It's the only beer I'll drink.
Okay,
Jordan, that's the slogan. Jordan Jesse Beer, the only beer Jesse Thorne will drink.
Yeah.
Celebrity podcaster Jesse Thorne will drink, and then I'll do a commercial. It'll be like, "Hi, I'm celebrity podcaster Jesse Thorne. You may know that I'm a world-famous teetotaler, or at least I was, until I tasted Jordan Jesse beer. Now I drink myself into blackout every night."
Hi, I'm Jordan Morris. I don't have a very sophisticated palate when it comes to alcohol.
That's why I love Jordan Jesse beer.
Yeah. I'll unwind at night with some Trader Joe's microwavable enchiladas and an MGD. Don't take my word for it.
Hi, I'm celebrity podcaster Jesse Thorne. I've been to Jordan Morris's house, and the only alcoholic beverage is MGD.
Kurt, what's your signature? What's your signature spirit?
I don't know about signature spirit.
You
but
got
the,
a mixed
the,
drink? You
the,
got a the, signature
the,
mixed
the
drink?
The mixed drink that I drink and that one of my good friends always says whenever we go out together... You still drink those hooker drinks, which is the gin gimlet.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Straight up.
Sure.
That's a good drink. That is a hooker drink.
It is, I'm afraid.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
While you're visiting L.A., I'm forgetting the name. Who's the guy who wrote all the pulpy detective novels?
Elroy?
Like a Mickey Spillane?
Chandler,
yeah. A bunch of those Chandler characters all drink gimlets.
Really? Maybe that's how it's
hang around in L.A.
In my head.
So,
well, there
you
go. There you go.
Very classy. Jordan, you were talking a little bit earlier about you satiating your curiosity. Your curiosity was whetted by a call that we received 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
Just a quick recap for you, Kurt. A listener called in to say that his momentous occasion was that he was going on a date with the wife of the man that his wife was cheating on him with.
Uh-huh.
So this is
they were going to see Watchmen.
So what we asked was that he call in and let us know how the date went. He was kind enough to call. Here he is.
Whoa.
Hi, Jordan and Jesse Go. This is the guy who called in 2 weeks ago who went on a date with my wife's boyfriend's wife. I know I've taken a long time to call back. I actually programmed the number of my wife's phone so she could call in. She is probably better telling the story, and she probably knows how much of the story would or wouldn't be interesting to you. The date went kind of oddly enough. I had no idea the Watchmen movie was so inappropriate for what we were doing.
But what is appropriate?
In retrospect, I had no idea.
Marley and
before
me.
Before we got there, we went out to eat. So we were looking for places around the area, and there was a Mexican restaurant, and I asked her if she liked Mexican food. She told me she had never had Mexican food, which is the weirdest thing in the world.
Well, this
me.
All sounds so like a like I an elaborate double entendre. Do you like Mexican about. Food? I've like never had Mexican food.
We went to the movie, we got a large popcorn, we watched the movie, and afterwards stood in the parking lot at midnight for about an hour talking about her childhood. So,
which was probably
all in
a mess.
Great date. Well, I don't know what you guys, what other questions you have. I think
well, for
of
starters,
what you think happened is probably more interesting than what really happened. But yeah, I'll get my wife to call in. She is planning an excursion with the family this upcoming weekend, so can't wait to see what happens. We are hopefully going to see Monsters vs. Aliens in 3D. Another movie, another date, and we might all be going together, the entire family thing. So.
When he says the entire family
thing,
does he mean that he and his new girlfriend, who's the wife of his wife's new boyfriend, are all going to go see Monsters and Aliens in 3D?
Or are there children involved, making it even more tragic? You've invented a whole new genre here, the alt Jerry Springer world.
Yeah, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah, Jerry Springer for people who...
Who live in Austin, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
And listen to podcasts.
Right, yeah, and probably, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some nerd specifics. For some reason, I can't right now because my mind is a little bit blown.
Well, anyway, I knew we couldn't
go to
top
a lot
that,
of They Might
so.
Be Giants concerts. There you go.
We'll be back in just a second with Momentous Occasions. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Gert Anderson, Explodo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Man, God bless him, huh?
Good nickname.
God bless Gert Anderson from Public Radio International Studio 360, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Featuring Gert Anderson.
Oh, my God. Is that what it's called? Featuring Gert Anderson?
No, and there's no featuring. But
is
with,
there a
with?
There's with
a
Gert with. Anderson?
There's a with. There's a contractual with.
It should be that's Gert Anderson's nice. Studio 360. Presented by Kurt Anderson.
A Kurt Anderson radio program.
One of those Bill Cosby credit
yeah,
sequences.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my goodness. We're having a... No, that would be produced by Dr. Kurt Anderson.
Well, it would be Kurt Anderson, B.A.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. B.A. Oh, my gosh. On this program, we ask our listeners to call in as momentous occasions happen to them or in their immediate aftermath. We've had some really wonderful telephone calls this week, so let's just start by rolling some tape here.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Roy from Alaska again. I am in a small town in Tennessee, and I have a momentous occasion. I just saw no less than 3 older ladies using motorized wheelchairs scooting up an alley together like some kind of gang.
Now, you think that's impressive, this old lady gang? Sure, you think that this vehicle-based old lady gang is impressive. I can tell it. I can see it in your eyes. You don't have to tell me, okay? But there's something even more impressive than that. A gang even tougher and more dangerous, perhaps more dangerous even than MS-13, the world's most dangerous gang. That is this gang, gentlemen.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Go. This is Alex from New York. Just have a momentous occasion for you. I just walked out of my apartment, and I happened to see a whole family riding on the big, the bikes with the big wheel in the front and then the smaller wheel in the back.
Velocipedes.
Yeah, they had managed to somehow find 5 bikes, those kind of bikes, and they were riding them around outside of my apartment. I was quite amazed.
5 velocipedes, gentlemen.
So in Tennessee, the extraordinary real life scene out of the blue is like a scene from a cheesy bad comedy, old ladies in wheelchairs, as opposed to New York.
There's actually a Monty Python sketch about old lady gangs, and this brought that to mind.
Oh yeah, there sure is.
But this is like a debased version. I can just imagine.
Right. Yeah. This is the Adam Sandler version of that sketch.
If Adam Sandler, and then sure. But you know, in New York,
so you're
of course,
saying maybe it's a Rob Schneider.
Well, I'm that's what I'm thinking.
Fair
but
enough.
In New York, this kind of Cirque du Soleil-ish, old-fashioned surrealist vision is. Mm-hmm. It's why I live in New York rather than Tennessee.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Anyway, speaking of working blue.
Jordan, Jesse, go. I just saw my girlfriend pee. All right, have a good day.
Well, that's
there you go.
The thing.
Now,
speaking of things you put in your media packet for underwriters, maybe not that.
Okay, so there's that. Granted, a momentous occasion.
Sure.
You know? Now, I wanted to clean our palates after that.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite momentous occasions in a really long time.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and Go. I just had my first slow dance to the girl that I've had my first crush on ever since high school, and I just told her that right now, and I just felt like it was a momentous occasion, and I just had to call you right now. And it's been, what, 3 years?
4 years since high school.
4 years since high school.
And I feel exactly the same way.
And I've barely told her how I felt. Right now. It's been 4 years since high school. Anyways, I just wanted to tell you that. Bye.
Right?
That's delightful.
Right? Doesn't
that... delightful.
Thank God she was there and chimed in. If it was just the guy, I would my mixture of sadness and pleasure would have been tilted toward the...
Either she rejected you and you're out in an alley somewhere, or you left to make the call, which is weird, and she probably hates
no,
you.
And,
well, we think you should do that. Let's be clear.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And the timing of the reveal of her voice. Perfect.
Yeah, you could not have played. It seemed, I mean, we have been known to get a bullshit call or two. It
seemed real.
Yeah, but no, I'm going to go with that's real. It's delightful. I would like to know what song it was to.
Yeah, that's a good question. My money's on Layer Head on My Pillow by Tony, Tony, Tony. But
the mellow and kill the buzz, but but at 21 or 23, 3 or 4 years after high school, do you still talk about slow dances?
Yeah, I'm wondering where they
you
slow
do if you're
danced.
Really, really sweet.
Yeah, maybe that was kind of...
How about that, you fuckers?
Okay.
Maybe this was kind of a grand gesture. Maybe they were, I don't know, in some place you wouldn't normally slow dance, and a song came on, and he's like, I always wanted to go to prom with you, and then,
Speaking of beautiful moments.
Or they snuck into a homecoming.
This is like the beautiful moment.
Or the third the third annual high school reunion or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. The third, yes.
This is
one a year. One reunion.
This is
a
like
year.
An all beautiful moments, momentous occasions. Because we had, of course, seeing your girlfriend pee, and then we had that one. And now we have this.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Jimmy. I just got my wisdom teeth removed. All drugs have worn out, but. My lip is still really numb, and I'm standing over the sink, kind of letting blood and spit dribble out of my mouth. Okay. Keep up the good work.
Do you feel like maybe the drugs hadn't completely worn off? Like 100%?
He could have been just like high on pot or something.
Yeah.
The prescription like drugs wore off.
Having a hard time creating the seal because his liver is too... Okay. Look, we need to pick me up after all of that. I think this
hey,
is
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. This is Greg from Omaha calling in with a momentous occasion. Just helped a guy at my place of work. Guy's name was Zebulon Steele. Zebulon Steele. Checked his ID and everything.
Wow.
That's cool.
Zebulon Steele, gentlemen.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're from Omaha. You know Zeb?
Well, the thing is, most men of a certain age in Omaha are named Zebulon. So
right. As well, it's one of the most popular names.
This fellow here must have been new to town. No, that's great. And how lovely that. I mean, that's a fairly compared to slow dancing or your girlfriend peeing or all the rest. That's a subtle, classy, momentous thing to recognize that this is a cool name.
I think this is a classy show.
Can I ask you something about Omaha?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of trying to figure this out.
Is that a state or a city?
Is that a kind of cake?
Yeah.
Oh, is Omaha one of these little pockets like a, you know, like a Chapel Hill, North Carolina, that's just kind of a little maybe hippie pocket within a square area?
Well, it's certainly within a square area, and it's a fairly square place, and I mean that in the best sense,
sure.
Itself. But in the last, since I've left, actually, in the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, it has developed this hipster thing.
A lot of, big, lot of indie rock bands.
There's the whole indie rock thing there. There's a visual art movement. It has become improbably, you know, this cool, the coolest place between Chicago and L.A. I'll posit.
Except for Billings.
Well, there's that. Well, there's the whole Livingston, all that stuff.
Sure.
But to my great surprise, because in the last presidential election, Nebraska is one of two states that changed the rules so that each congressional district has its own electoral vote, so that it's not all winner take all the state.
Yeah.
And the Omaha district went for Obama in this most Republican of American states. So I felt like, well, maybe it's not just, you know, a few indie rockers and artists and poets. It's actually gotten cool in my absence. So
it must be frustrating to no longer be able to use your place of origin as a punchline when the situation suggests that you could or should.
Omaha as a punchline? I have no idea what you mean. Yes, indeed. It's true. And the Warren Buffettification of Omaha has made it, you know, legit in a different way.
And, of course, Mutual of Omaha.
Wild Kingdom. Yes, indeed.
So maybe Omaha is a place where a guy named Zebulon Steele could exist and thrive.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like a superhero.
Potentially he could fight crime.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Or travel to space in the 50s.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Explodo.
That's good. That's enough. Leave it there.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Oh,
we had a great show, huh, Jordan?
Didn't we, though? Come on.
Oh, very fun show. We have some great calls about, you know, last week we threw out this action item, what's the craziest person you ever met when you were traveling? We got some good calls on that topic. We're just plumb out of time, so we're pushing it back to next week, and it's still open. What's the craziest person you ever met while you were traveling? And, of course, we also have this new project, which is Gender Solutions. What's it called? Gender Solutions Knee High?
Gender Solutions. I forget.
High
Flex Knee. There you go. Gender Solutions High Flex Knee.
Gender Solutions High Flex Knee. What is your art creative interpretation of that? Whatever it is, you can create anything. You visual art. You can create a diorama and photograph it. You can make something in Microsoft Paint. You can do a Photoshop creation. You can write a song about it and post a link on the forum. All these things are open.
You can wear the Jordan Jesse Go T-shirt without a bra.
You got it. You can do anything as long as it has that special magical quality.
A certain bralessness.
Yeah. 206-984-4FUN is the telephone number to call if you have a momentous occasion or you have thoughts about the show. You got a question you want to ask me. Specifically, I'm just quickly anticipating one question that might come up. I like Mike Spankley Lavalier a lot, but my favorite was Don Sluggo Slott, if you're talking about catchers for the 1992 Pittsburgh Pirates. If you want to challenge Jordan to play Street Fighter for money, I think that's a great idea. You can do that on the forum.
Sure.
Jordan's hanging out on the forum looking for people to beat at Street Fighter. Of course, Kurt Anderson's...
I don't think there's a way... for us to play Street Fighter 3 Third Strike online. But if you're in L.A. and want to meet at a bowling alley and do that and play for money, I'll do that.
Right. And if you're in L.A.
If you want to meet me at Chateau Bowl and play Street Fighter 3 Third Strike in L.A., I'll probably do it.
Okay. I'll probably go there because that's right near my house.
Sure.
I'm down to go to Chateau Bowl. Down for Chateau Bowl?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So Kurt Anderson's Studio 360 is on the interweb at studio360.org. I got to change this. Jordan, Lonely Sandwich pointed out something really important to me recently.
What?
Saying the interweb is over, saying interwebs is over. The most important thing, the new hotness.
It's the new cheeky way to refer to the internet.
Is internet. Okay. So studio,
it's kind of like AOL being cool again. You know,
yeah, is it?
No,
I thought I had missed something.
Kurt Anderson, of course, his program Studio 360 is on internet at studio360.org. You can check out his delightful and very long novels, and of course you can look forward to the film that he's writing. That features Chip Dipson, Dip Dobson, and of course the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Wait, it's not
game.
Chip and Dip. You said Chip or Dip.
It is, but I mean, we hoped you would be charitable. And
I expect that you'll include both of them. Now, I don't want to be clear. As long as it actually appears in the credits, it doesn't. They don't have to say their name in the film. But it has to. There has to be. You can't just if they produce the film. You can't just say, oh, you know that one guy, like the guy at the who was roasting the peanuts in Central Park. That guy's name was Chip Dipson.
No, but also,
unless it shows roles on the credits and it says Chip Dipson, Clint Howard.
Right.
By the way,
it
Chip
would be
Dipson
Clint Howard.
Should be played by Clint Howard.
Ideally.
Now, this has become full circle with the Brian Grazer, Ron Howard thing.
Yeah,
really, there's a coherence to here that only emerges
through the medium
now,
of podcasting.
Now, it counts if it's in a work of printed prose fiction.
Absolutely.
Well.
Okay, yes, fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll
although, in that case, you know, obviously you would have to include it.
Be $8 instead
there's
of 20.
No, if you wrote, if you wrote,
that's about the exchange,
if you
right?
wrote, for example, a play, you could feature it in the dramatis personae in the beginning, and then you wouldn't have to have that character utter it out loud.
Well, you're really lowering the bar here.
I know. $20 for a movie. The rest is at my discretion.
Okay.
We encourage you. I mean, the point of the thing is, any work of fiction benefits from having a character named Chip Dipson or Dip Dobson. That's the central bedrock truth. Okay. But what we're talking about here is if you want this $20 cash American. You got to put Chip Dipson or Dip Dobson
so it's
in
the,
a movie.
The Dipson Dobson meme in general.
On a screen. Something that people give a shit about.
Meme.
Not fucking boring read words, as I call them. Read words is what I call them.
Do you call them that?
Yeah, I do. Right. Jordan, you and me are going to be in Portland and Seattle at the end of the month. We're in Portland on Thursday, April 23rd. We're going to be at
Seattle on the 23rd.
Seattle, Thursday, April 23rd at Central Cinema. You can buy your tickets online. Just go to MaximumFun.org, click on live. There's a link right there to Brown Paper Tickets where you can buy your tickets. Only $12. Us and the You Look Nice Todays. It's going to be a great fun. We've already sold a bunch of the tickets, so buy your tickets now. Buy them. And of course, we're going to be at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival. I'm doing the Sound of Young America live. We got Blitz and Trapper, Mira, Reggie Watts, almost certainly comic author Brian Michael Bendis, and possible other surprise guests. And you and I are doing Monsters of Podcasting on Sunday night at Bridgetown. And there's also 120 comedians in town, including lots and lots of really cool, awesome people. Our buddy Tig Notaro, Nick Kroll, Matt Bronger.
One of my faves from L.A., Josh Fadem, will be there. That's my recommendation for a guy whose name you might not know who you should go see.
There you go, Josh Fadem. You might get to see him just like do pratfalls for 20 minutes straight.
Yeah, or read out of the phone book.
Anyway, that's at BridgetownComedyFestival.com. Thanks again, Kurt, for doing... Excuse me. Thanks again, Explodo, for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, Explodo.
My pleasure.
It's always such a joy when we can degrade the quality radio network that is Public Radio International with our embarrassing telephone calls about seeing your girlfriend pay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time right here on Jordan, Jesse, Go.